flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back into Sports Talk here on WWL. We're at the Host Committee's Media Center, Radio Row and Memorial Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. Happy to welcome in now to the Radio Huddle, Dan Israel, executive producer and host on the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network. Welcome on into New Orleans. How's it going?
Thank you, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. Well, Dan, it's something in the water in Kansas City, or what is it?
Maybe, Bobby, I don't know.
You know, we'd be like, well, maybe because we crawfished some of the Saints, won a Super Bowl. But I tell you what, boy, you got my
you
son.
Need some of that water.
My son lives in St. Louis, and his in-laws are all the big Mizzou fans.
Yeah.
And so it's amazing now, even in St. Louis, how they now embrace the Chiefs. Because they have no NFL team. So they all ticked off because the Cardinals went to Arizona.
That's right.
And the Rams took off to Los Angeles. So now they love their St. Louis baseball Cardinals.
Yeah.
You know, that's over the Royals for sure.
They like their hockey team.
The hockey, the Blues.
Yeah.
But, you'd be amazed. I'm like, well, y'all in St. Louis, you're not in Kansas City. But, no, that's our home team. That's our state team, now the Chiefs.
I think it's interesting. You know, the Chiefs fatigue has become a very real thing, right? I mean, people are a little, okay, we're a little through with the Chiefs.
Right.
But here's the thing. It's entertaining. It's good quality and entertaining football. I mean, these games lasting to the fourth quarter, does the league, what would the league want that would be any better than that?
Well, about 17 games in a row and you win the last possession.
Yeah.
One score games. You look, I mean, I want to be, and that's why, look, I don't have a dog in hunt. I was telling Stephen Mike this. Listen, whoever wins, wins. I don't have the Chiefs or the Eagles. I just want to be watching the game at the end, as the middle of the third quarter,
Yeah.
And now, the NFL wants that because the more
eyes,
everybody's watching. Like you say, you want to be entertained. Because
they can sell commercials at a higher price.
That's right. When you look at it, the last matchup when they did play in the Super Bowl, very
really
entertaining, Chiefs-Eagles. So hopefully we have that kind of game. So.
Well, one of the unsung kind of stories here, everybody brings up Mahomes and is how well this team has drafted. And people say, tank to get a better draft pick. Who's picked better over the last 3 years than the Chiefs? Look where they're picking.
Yeah,
they're not picking fourth or fifth or ninth. They pick in at the end. They either 29, 30, 31, or 32. That's where they're picking. I think that part with the Chiefs has really been the story behind the story here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Mike, because this league is not designed to let you win and continue to win.
Right.
They want the parity. They want to exchange out the teams. And the Chiefs are not only are they picking the bottom of the draft of each round, but they're playing the toughest schedules because you're playing all like-positioned teams. So, I mean, it's this gauntlet of, like, playoff teams that we're playing, and still to go 15-1. I don't call that Denver game. That wasn't. But to go to set a franchise record in a year where you've had just week after week after week after week injuries, where you've got new guys, you've got second string guys coming up and playing positions. They've done a masterful job of drafting and coaching those players to be ready to play.
Well, all I know is not, I think, just a mental thing. It's like a real thing. It's like you better be up at the end of the game by 9 points or more. It has to be two scores because, it's like you're going to bet against Pat Mahomes. It's almost like Tom Brady passed the torch. You know, it's like, I got the Tom Brady fatigue, whatever, Patriots. Now it's with the Chiefs. And I'd be like, don't bet against Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You're going to lose your money. Then now it's like, I don't know, don't bet against Pat Mahomes. You might want somebody else. We end up losing. That's why I'm saying, I was telling Steve this. And Steve grew up an Eagles fan. He's from Jersey. He's been here.
I'm originally a Jersey boy.
He needs all the prayers he can get.
And so I was telling Steve, I said, you better hope at the end that it's they're winning by 9 points or more, because they were saying one score. And that's kind of look at the game last time. And even though Jalen Hurts outplayed Pat Mahomes, and what I mean by that, look, it was 38-35. Now, because I like numbers, I look at numbers. And here's Jalen Hurts, 27 of 38, 304 yards, the touchdowns. They both didn't throw an interception. And all of a sudden, Jalen Hurts has 15 rushes. I didn't realize this. 70 yards, three touchdowns rushing. He had 374 total yards. Mahomes had 226. Mahomes was 21 to 27, 182 yards. That's kind of like when I played. You know, he threw over 182, 200 yards, late 80s, early 90s. Now he had three touchdowns and zero picks, six rushes, 44 yards. But that's why I'm just looking at the thing, though, that was the difference. And y'all remember when this happened, the scoop and score.
Yeah.
Remember when Jalen Hurts stumbles and he drops the ball and they pick it up?
Right.
That's why
game changers. Right?
That's what Jalen Hurts has to avoid. Yeah. But I think if Jalen Hurts plays well, and obviously the addition of Saquon Barkley, is huge.
He was my league MVP. I really believed he.
It's normally a quarterback award, but this year should be him.
He meant more to his team than either Lamar Jackson meant to his, or even Josh Allen meant to the Bills, in my opinion.
But. Yeah, and then you look at the addition. I think they both played better. You look at Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
What he meant with the Ravens to Lamar Jackson. Yeah. And then you look, Saquon Barkley with Jalen Hurts. Well, if you're a quarterback and you get that kind of production running, you better play good. That supporting cast.
I think somebody told me he has seven. Saquon Barkley has seven carries for 60-plus yards.
Seven carries over 60 yards.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, not one or two.
That is ridiculous.
No, seven.
That's an unbelievable number.
And here's a stat that goes along with that, because these explosive plays that they're living off of, Hurts was sacked like 45 times. When does a rushing team get its quarterback sacked 45 times like that?
Yeah, and I got it right here. This is like an NFL record, seven touchdown runs of at least 60 yards in a regular season in the playoffs. And he needs to know, I think he's going to get this, even though, you probably want the Chiefs to stop him, obviously. But he only needs 30 yards rushing to break Terrell Davis's record. Wow. For 2,476 yards set in 1998 season, I was doing the Falcons radio. Then I just finished playing, and I'm doing the pre and post game. That's when Atlanta went to Denver and played Miami in the Super Bowl. And Terrell Davis, we all know what he meant to John Elway. And so all of a sudden, here's Barkley. Saquon just needs 30 more rushing yards to break Terrell Davis's record in 1998 season for the most ever in a season and playoff combined included.
That's incredible.
So, I mean, that's why Saquon, who can not be a Saquon Barkley fan?
No, and he again, good running back, entertaining football. Man, he's a blast to watch.
Yes.
I just don't want it to be against us.
Yeah. Do you think this is the last game for Travis Kelce?
If you listen to what he said last night, no. And everyone's been saying, yeah, but if he's on the podium and he's hoisting a third Lombardi, is that really what he's going to say? I said, he's going to say four-peat. Tell you.
They're going to have to put, just like Pat Riley, somebody going to have to put their hand over his mouth.
Well, why not? I played to 1997, and now in hindsight, my elbow was all messed up. And I tell Mike this all the time. George Seifert from the old 49ers wanted me to go play with the Carolina Panthers. But I felt like I was cheating. Man, I knew mentally where to go, but, the last year I played, I threw 24 touchdown passes. I couldn't even throw it past 52 yards. Mm. But I would throw it deep at the beginning just to get the cornerbacks to soften up. Then I would just throw curl routes and slants and all that and running the run and shoot. So I feel like I was stealing money. But now in hindsight,
I should have stole
the money. They were going to give me $1 million to go play. And I said, I want to quit on my own terms. Now I would take the approach, I'm going to quit when they kick me out. And keep playing until they kick out. Because then you're in the real world.
And I don't think Bobby, the most most fans don't have a clue what you guys go through, how fatiguing it is,
yeah.
how hurt you are at the end of a season. I mean, the optimal or the appropriate answer Kelce should give if he's asked that is, I don't know, let me get away from this game. Let me relax and
let me go take a vacation with Taylor, then we'll talk over maybe or something.
That's right. My favorite.
He didn't talk about it as much as his brother. Jason talked about retiring, and I think I told this to Steve. When you start talking about retirement, you more than halfway there.
You know, it's funny, Mike. I do a broadcast boot camp for the NFL where we teach retired players how to broadcast. Well, he wasn't retired yet, but he was talking about retiring.
Yep.
And I was really shocked because he was very good, so much so that he already had the jobs lined up. And he went back for another year.
Like the brother combination. Who doesn't love this? Look at the Mannings.
Yeah.
Look at Peyton and Eli. Well, if you have Jason and Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
That's like a no-brainer. I mean, you have a lot of competition network trying to get those guys on.
I'll tell you, that Eagles lost Kelce and Jason and Travis met right in front of me outside the locker room after the game. Tough. It was tough to watch.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
That's tough to watch. You love what your brother's been able to accomplish. Sure,
but you want to beat your brother.
That's right. That's right. So much personal hurt.
Yeah.
Steve Spagnuolo, because, you know, we were here when Steve came in. It was the Bounty Gate year. Nothing was right. It was a lot of chaotic stuff behind the scenes. And Sean
got suspended, him and Mickey Loomis.
Spags tells the story that I was good friends with Sean. He hires me. Okay? That was the last time I saw him. And then when I saw him again at the end of the year, he fired me. I didn't see him in between. But look what he has done with his career. And now the first defensive coordinator to ever win a Super Bowl with two different teams. Yeah. That's remarkable.
Mike, now think about this. He, you know, you put up on a pedestal. I don't know if I've ever witnessed this. He coached the worst defense in NFL history in 2012. Look at the numbers.
Yeah.
To me, that's to say he didn't forget how to coach. Yeah. I mean, the Saints' talent was that bad defensively?
Like, yeah, we're doing cover also zero. Also some other things,
yeah,
too,
cover sir. Zero.
There's a lot going on.
And, and then all of a sudden, I look at now what he's accomplished with the Chiefs. He's a Pro Football Hall of Famer defensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's one of the most decorated coordinators ever now. And I watch him and He is just such a personable coach. He really does relate to these younger players. That's tough, guys. You know, I mean, all of us that are in regular work here, this millennial thing is a complete shift in workforce. Well, the NFL didn't escape that either. These guys want time off. They want work-life balance, which is, as an ex-player, you must just go, what?
Yeah, no two-a-days anymore?
Yeah.
Well, we go now, the collective bargaining agreement, they can't go more than 3 days. Then they have to have a day off and practice once a day. We went 10 straight days of two-a-days.
Yes, right.
It was like, what? And then I can remember, you play and I get a concussion. I get my front teeth knocked out. And I said, no, I don't like football right now. It is truly like a job. I'm trying to survive the best way I can support my family. I never forget, I had a headache so bad. I'm throwing up on the way coming back from Tampa on the plane. Mm. And here I am. I'm just like, you know, I look pitiful. I look like a Cajun hillbilly, no teeth. I'm like, you know, coming out like I played hockey or something. And so here I am. And so I go to practice on Friday. And Coach Mora said, Bobby, you know, how you doing? Jim Mora. And I go, well, my headache's went away. I'm feeling pretty good. He go, good, you're playing Sunday.
Yeah.
And I played against Washington. And I was lucky. I had 11 concussions in 15 years.
Wow.
But never more than one in a year. So, you know, like Troy Aikman like Steve Young, when they got a concussion, they got another one 2 or 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
And so I was always fortunate. I'll tell you, if I'd have got hit maybe in that Washington game, I might have been in a coma. I mean, it was like, but I avoided the hit, and it didn't happen. And I played well. It was just lucky, you know, rolling the dice. Where now, how they take care of the players and all.
Yeah.
And you go under the 10, and you look like with Tua and all that. So
You're shipped off to the locker room, never to be seen from until your concussion clears.
Yeah, out for a month and a half.
The other guy, too, is your linebackers coach, Brandon Daly.
Yeah.
Brandon comes to our Louisiana line camp. It's 18 years he has shown up, works with Pete Jenkins and go through the whole deal. This is going to be his 9th Super Bowl.
Wow.
9 Super Bowls.
I didn't realize that.
He's got 6 winning rings.
Wow. I did not realize that.
Because he was with Belichick and Brady, and now he's with Kansas City.
That makes sense.
With Mahomes and Reed. So Pete Jenkins always tells him, I don't know how good of a coach he is, but he knows how to pick quarterbacks.
I'll tell you, he's got his work cut out for him.
And I could say the Chiefs are a little bit closer to my heart than I would say the Eagles, because I think the Chiefs fans are nice. The Eagles fans are terrible.
baited them. Well,
the thing is, if you're a Saints fan and you go to a Philly game, I want to take a road trip. You go there, and I said, no, I wouldn't wear my Saints jersey and all that. And they're going to torment you,
right.
and you might get hit in back the head. Or if you're going to the restroom, I'm just going to use the bathroom. Then they'll punch you in back the head. No, you can get jumped. No, that didn't happen in Arrowhead. But I can tell you this, the loudest stadium I ever played in, and I'm going from the pregame, a good thing we jumped on the Chiefs quick, and we won an Arrowhead with the Saints. Steve DeBerg was the quarterback then. I was going way back. And just in the warm-ups, whoa, it's going to be loud in there. We better jump on them quick. And we end up beating the Chiefs. But to me, the best, loudest atmosphere, because the noise in the Superdome, look at the King Dome back in Seattle.
Yeah.
The Arrowhead Stadium, it's just unbelievable, the atmosphere and the noise. And so, these are real football fans.
Yeah.
When I look at Kansas City. So, and then my connection, too, was with Hank Stram. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hank Stram came to the Saints after he won the Super Bowl with the Chiefs.
I forgot about
He's living on the North Shore, but I lived in Mandeville. So, and when he was later on in his life, he was doing the radio, doing like Monday Night Football, Westwood One, and all that. So, I'd go to his house. I never forget this. I would go to his house and have. He goes, Bobby, come have coffee with me. So I'd go sit with him in his living room, and his wife would walk out with a tray and give us coffee and all that. And he'd say, and his wife would say, no, Bobby, wait, don't come to the house now. Give him like half an hour on it, because he wanted to look his best. He's putting makeup and all. So I'd be like, he looked like looking no matter what. He went to, one on one, just telling old war stories.
Hank worked for us here at WWL for 3 years. He took Mike Ditka's place. They were doing a casino show, and then Mike gets the head coaching job with the Saints. So they were looking for somebody to fill Mike's shoes, and Hank comes in. All those years, he never called me Mike. It was always Bayou. He had a nickname
for everybody.
For everybody. Yeah. It was always Bayou.
Yeah, I think the only person he called by name was Lenny Dawson. Everybody else had a nickname.
So it seems like, didn't he just acknowledge Lenny Dawson something with Kansas City? I was just thinking, like, they named some in the press box maybe with him?
The video half, the television side of it is now the Lynn Dawson press box.
Well, right, because I remember a long time ago, maybe the Chiefs went very good then. It was probably a dozen years ago when they hadn't won a game, but they beat the Saints in the Dome. And I remember seeing them up in the press box in the Superdome. I think it was about 12 years ago, and it was like, Lynn. And I'm like, whoa. I'm seeing like Lynn Dawson. I'm like saying that's a living. That's like seeing Joe Namath or whatever. Johnny Unitas or whatever it might be. When you finally see, I remember the first time I got to do a couple of fishing shows with Burt Jones. I'm in seventh grade. I got a Burt Jones jersey. I'm going to be like Burt Jones. LSU, he goes with the Colts. And then I'm doing Suzuki Great Outdoors with Burt Jones. Remember? And Larry Zonka and the Burt Jones. Suzuki Great Outdoors. So we're out fishing down the bayou. And with Burt Jones. You get to do that with your idols on. I go, man, I hit the lottery.
Tell him how y'all were fishing. Fly fishing?
Oh, no, listen. Yeah, we were fishing for a redfish in the marsh. And here, Burt Jones started coming at redfish. He goes, I'm not going to use a rod and reel. I'm using fly fishing. Fly fishing.
So all brackish water.
All of a sudden, he's introducing fly fishing in the saltwater marsh.
I don't know much about fishing. This doesn't sound right.
So get to have those moments.
Spent 35 years by Lenny and best times of my life.
Dan, definitely appreciate you stopping by and giving us some time. I hope you enjoy the rest of the time in New Orleans.
Hey, you know what I like about the Chiefs? I think Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes said this. And I think Scott Rabelli messed this up in the paper. He called it the Chiefs Nation. It is not the Chiefs Nation. It's the Chiefs Kingdom.
There is.
I like that. It's the Who That Nation with the Chiefs Kingdom.
Don't confuse those two.
Yeah. Who That Nation and the Chiefs Kingdom. I like that.
I'd leave you with a go, Chiefs, but out of respect.
Oh, that's no problem at all.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, man.
Good to be with you guys.
Executive producer and host on the Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel, joining us.